Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
There's a lot of room for creativity. I use a lot of ground sunflower seeds. I make a brownie that's a brownie with ground sunflower seeds, and it's really, really wonderful. It has a great texture.
That sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. Today's guest is Rhea Roberts. Rhea is the owner of Arise Bakery, which features gluten-free products. Rhea, how did you get started cooking and baking? Did you cook and bake as a child growing up?
I cooked and baked a little bit as a child and more when I was a teenager and definitely in my early 20s. I really got passionate about cooking.
Was there somebody in your family who kind of mentored you along with your cooking?
My mom's a really good cook.
Is she?
So
did she let you experiment a lot?
Yeah.
And how did you get started doing gluten-free products? Did you have a gluten intolerance yourself?
Yeah, about 6 years ago, I discovered that I had a gluten intolerance. And so that's when I really started baking gluten-free.
Did you just start for yourself?
Yeah. Actually, years before that, my sister discovered that she was gluten intolerant. And so that's where my awareness was born, learning about gluten intolerance. And so I started baking with her. And whenever we would get together, I would make things that were gluten-free.
And so you kind of had a chance to experiment a little bit. And then how did you make the leap from just baking for yourself and probably friends to turning it into a business?
I started baking weekly at home for several friends, and more people kept joining in and wanting to get the bread that I was making every weekend. And I was just baking out of my home. But it became more and more popular that I realized that I could bake for a greater audience. And a lot of these people weren't even gluten intolerant. They just really liked the flavor and the texture of the different kinds of bread.
I've read that as many as 1 in 105 people have a gluten intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a pretty big group. So your market is growing.
Yeah.
Because I think now people are actually being diagnosed or going in and having some understanding about it and being diagnosed as gluten intolerant.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who have different conditions. People who have inflammation condition do really well on a gluten-free diet.
And where's your bakery and how often do you bake now?
My kitchen is in Arcata and I bake once a week. I bake all day on Friday and early on Saturday mornings, and then I do my deliveries on Saturdays.
Where in Arcata is it?
It's in the Food Works building.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so do other people use the same kitchen that you do?
Yeah.
Okay. So you just use it on Fridays.
Yeah.
So you're finding that a lot more people are wanting gluten-free alternatives, and you've actually, sounds like you've turned some people on to gluten-free things, people who may not have a problem with it.
Right. Yeah. People who are interested in different types of food, exciting flavors that they've never had before, you know.
And textures, too, because it seems like the texture of gluten-free food might be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What sorts of ways have you adapted some of your recipes to try to get them similar to the products that you're making?
I've experimented a lot with combinations of flours. I think it's more successful, I found, if you use more than one flour. So depending on what you're making, if you want something light and fluffy, it's like there's a certain blend that you can use.
What things tend to make things light and fluffy? I'm wondering, does rice flour work that way?
Rice is okay. Rice mixed with tapioca or the lighter starches makes things a little bit lighter. Coconut flour is really light.
Huh. And do things taste coconutty if you make them with coconut flour?
Yeah, depending on the other flavors that are in there. Yeah.
What are some of the challenges? What are some of the things that you've had the hardest time trying to get to work right?
I think the binding of the actual product is a big challenge for people, for myself too. So I've experimented a lot using different methods. Some things, you know, you don't need to add an extra binder, but other things I've used different gums and eggs. I think that that's one of the things is people really find that gluten-free products will fall apart unless they have a certain element in it that really holds it together. So I actually use a lot of flax seeds and chia seeds. Those are really great natural binders.
Great. So so you're talking about the texture that it's like it tends to be a more crumbly product. Mm-hmm. And especially with breads, I imagine that's an issue because you're trying to cut that piece for a sandwich
and hold
it crumbles.
Together. Yeah. Well, gluten is like it's like a glue, you know, it's like this protein that is a binder. It holds everything together. So, you know, and a lot of bakeries use low gluten flour for certain products that don't necessarily need to be held together like that, and then it makes it lighter. So in a way, there's some gluten-free baking that you can do that it's actually better to just have no gluten at all.
Okay.
if that makes sense.
It does. And it's kind of like doing where chemistry meets art, because you have this product that you're trying to end up with, but you're really having to try a little of this, a little of that, because it's kind of uncharted territory.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of room for creativity. And I really find that what I look for is, I'll have a flower that I really like, say amaranth, and it has a certain flavor and it has a certain texture. And so it's like, I'm not trying to make a bread that's a French loaf out of amaranth, but it's something that will really showcase the flavor and texture of amaranth itself. And it's super nutritious. So, you know, it's like working with things like that rather than recreating baked goods that are using, you know, white flour, wheat flour. It's really exciting to play around with.
It kind of reminds me of like a lot of vegetarian things are trying to imitate something else, like chicken parts, you know, or something, but it's really not made with chicken, but it's doing its best to taste like it. If somebody's preparing a meal for somebody who's gluten intolerant, and let's say they just find out about it and dinner's that evening, what sorts of things would you suggest that they do to be able to accommodate that person?
I think focusing on whole foods, whole grains that are non-gluten grains, and fresh vegetables, making their own sauces. If you go and buy a sauce at the store, there's a lot of hidden ingredients in those types of things. So luckily at this point, a lot of companies are deciding to actually put gluten-free on their labels, which makes it really easy because you might miss an ingredient and then put it in a dish.
Yeah, problems for somebody. Yeah.
So I'd say whole foods is ideal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that would surprise people, I think, that has gluten in it. What are some of the things that have surprised you that have gluten?
Soy sauce, different dressings, salad dressings, barbecue sauce, things like that.
So again, those are those things that are kind of pre-mixed, pre-made, manufactured products that you just don't know what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they're labeled gluten-free.
And even tea, you know, different things that are sweetened with barley grain.
And beer.
Yeah.
Beer seems like an obvious one after you think about it. But at first I went, oh, beer.
Yeah. And there are gluten-free beers now.
And then some other ones that I found were interesting were French fries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just the processing, some of that coating that gets them to separate when you bake them in the oven. And things that have malt flavorings like malt vinegar. And then some medications have gluten in them. And some vitamins as well.
Correct.
And Play-Doh.
Play-Doh, yes.
So if you have children and you're trying to keep them from ingesting gluten, just be aware that Play-Doh does have gluten in it. Some grains that are gluten-free, so you might say, oh, rice is great, rice flour is great, but there are some contaminations that can happen in the processing and the manufacturing of those grains.
Yeah, if a grain is milled on the same mill that they milled wheat on, it's going to contaminate the flour. And also there's nuts. You know, in a lot of nut factories, they will coat the nuts with soy sauce, things like that, and it stays in the machine. There's a minimal amount of contamination, but it's still a contamination. So what I do for my bakery is I make sure that all of my ingredients are certified gluten-free.
Mm-hmm. And then we're focusing on the things that you can't eat when you have a gluten allergy, but there are lots of things that you can eat. Tell us some of the things that you use in your products that don't have gluten in them.
So I really like to use brown rice, teff. Teff is a wonderful grain. Amaranth. Millet, sorghum, tapioca, a little bit of corn flour here and there.
Do you use soy?
I don't really use soy.
Okay.
What I like to do is use a lot of seeds, things that I can grind up right then. So I use a lot of ground sunflower seeds. I make a brownie that's basically, you know, a flourless brownie with ground sunflower seeds. And it's really, really wonderful. It has a great texture. So there's no flour at all.
That sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. So where do you sell your products and how do you sell them?
I sell my baked goods at the farmer's market in Arcata. I've been doing that for the last 3 years. And during the winter months, I do a CSB, which is similar to a CSA, where I have members who buy a share and they get weekly deliveries. We're going to start doing that year round. It's become really popular.
And Los Bagels.
And Los Bagels. Mm-hmm.
The gluten-free bagels.
The gluten-free bagels. We make the bagels and Los Bagels boils and bakes them.
Okay. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had a fun time talking about gluten-free products with Rhea Roberts from Arise Bakery.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot too.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.